There is no doubt that all of our fathers, regardless of the type of men that they were, had some earthly wisdom to pass along. Yet, you know, sometimes it's years later that we come to appreciate or understand their lives or their wisdom. Take, for example, the account of a young woman's father's wisdom. Does anyone in this room need to be dismissed from jury duty? My father, a judge, asked the prospective jurors. A nervous young man stood up. I'd like to be dismissed, he said. My wife is about to conceive. Slightly taken aback, Dad responded, I believe, sir, you mean deliver. But either way, I agree, you should be there. The man was dismissed. Or this one of some serious wisdom conveyed by his father. Four students walked in halfway through an American history test my father was giving at the community college. Sorry, they said, we had a flat tire. An understanding man, Dad said that if they all four of them, could answer just one question correctly, he would give them each an A for the exam. They agreed. So Dad handed each one a piece of paper, placed them in four separate corners, and said, write down which tire was flat. And I'm sure they didn't get it right. Fathers are expected to dispense wisdom. That's what our job is. In fact, the last couple of weeks, my children both have called me in different scenarios asking for wisdom. And it's a reminder of we as fathers and what we need to be doing. Now, you know, you might think, well, this is appropriate for next week since it's Father's Day. But we have some things to say about this subject today. So let's pray as we consider some things from Scripture. Father, Almighty God, you are the maker of the universe. You control everything. We are yours, whether we acknowledge you or not. And we just ask now that you would be with us this morning, and you would help us to consider what your Scripture says. You would help us to consider our relationship with you very seriously. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for your incredible love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Since the beginning of the year, we have explored attributes of God as far as we can know them from Scripture. We've talked about how patient and awesome our God is in his treatment of us. And I think if you look back over your lives and consider how patient he's been with you and how awesome he is, you all know what I'm talking about. We've talked about his son Jesus, and that if you do not look to him as your Lord, you cannot expect salvation. Our Father God loves us. Yet we are a rebellious, stubborn people, and he goes to extraordinary lengths to bring us into a relationship with him. You have to admit it when you look at your lives and what we've been through. He is truly an awesome God for loving us that much. Yet, you know, it's interesting. As awesome as he is, it's difficult to pattern my life after a God who's not like me. He is spirit, after all, and I'm flesh. How do I pattern my life after God? How can I call him Father when we are seemingly so different? How can I understand the wisdom of my spiritual holy God when I'm sinful and definitely not holy? He solves both these problems by sending part of himself to become flesh, deal with all the struggles of the flesh, the difficulties of other people and cultures, while still being obedient to God as Father. God, our Father, gives us Jesus as a living human example to imitate, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to give us power to overcome our sinful nature. Jesus becomes like a hero for us to look up to and want to be like. Now, Paul expresses this idea in Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance when he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. When Jesus was asked by his disciples how they should pray, he told them to begin by addressing God as Father. He knew us before the creation of the universe. He chose us in advance to become like his Son, Jesus Christ. So when Jesus told them how to pray, he said, you need to start by addressing him as Father. Now, this is really interesting because this is a revolutionary concept in Jesus' day. The Jewish people who heard Jesus tell his disciples this must have been shocked. You would never address God in such a familiar way. They just didn't do it. For us, it's natural. We address God as Father all the time. But for the Jew in Jesus' day, you would have never addressed him in such a familiar way. In the Old Testament, you do not find God being addressed as your Father. Where it does occur throughout the Old Testament, it's in a general sense, God being the Father of all mankind because he's the Creator. So in a general sense, they would call him their Father, but not like you and I would call our Father's Father. How then can Jesus change this and tell his disciples now after 1,000 years or so to begin to address God as their personal Father? Well, Jesus could do this because God truly was his Father and he had a close relationship with him. So if you claim Jesus as your Lord and you live to do the Father's will, you have the right to call him Abba, Father, Daddy. There's three things there. You claim Jesus as your Lord, you live to do the Father's will, and you have the right to call him Abba, Father, Daddy. What a privilege we have in Jesus Christ to call the holy God, the awesome God, Daddy, Father. And I would encourage you this morning, have you claimed that right? Do you talk to him every day seeking his wisdom in scripture and prayer? You have a Father in heaven, a personal Father who is watching out for you every moment of every day. How well do you know him? Are you taking the time to get to know your daddy, Abba, Father? So Jesus tells them that this is how they should pray. Address him as Father, Daddy, as you pray first. Now I want to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 18 through 15. This is the Lord's Prayer. We looked at this last week. Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. Jesus, in response to the question, says, do not be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And then he makes the comment, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus had a lot to say about his Father. And if you study this passage of Scripture, all of a sudden some very interesting things come to light about God, our Father. First thing is in verse 8, Jesus says, your Father, excluding himself from the statement, your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. God is Jesus' Father. But when Jesus makes this statement, he says, it's your Father. He knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Jesus sets himself apart from the disciples. They have needs that are different from his. He and the Father are one, and it's our needs he's talking about, not his. And then you get to verse 9. We're looking at the pronouns in front of this word Father. We get to verse 9, and the prayer starts out, Our Father. He changes the pronoun to our. This includes Jesus and the disciples. It's sort of like telling your family, we're all in this together. He's our Father. And this example of this prayer is to be done in a group setting. This is not something or some way that you pray individually. It's a little bit different. But in a group setting, our Father, it's plural. We pray like this. Our Father is the focus of the prayer. He's the source of your life. He's the source of your provision. And He's the source of the security of our souls. In our men's Bible study Thursday night, we were looking at the example of Adam in Genesis and what the Garden of Eden represented to Adam, and it was exactly the same idea. The garden represented God's provision. It represented Adam's source of life, and it represented his security. Because the world was chaotic all around the garden, and the garden was this oasis. So our Father is the garden. He's our provision, our life, and our security. Then in verse 14, Jesus changes the pronoun again. He expands the part of the prayer on forgiveness, and he tells them that when they forgive someone who sins against them, they are acting as part of the family and doing God's will. We have a responsibility that when somebody sins against us, to forgive them. Because when you do that, even though it hurts, and even though you're not happy, you forgive them. You are actually doing the will of God the Father by forgiving that person. And you're acting as part of the family of God by doing that. It goes against our nature to do it. But yet if you are claiming that Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're part of the family of God. Forgiving others is a crucial element of being part of that family. So he uses the pronoun your Father, and again he excludes himself from this part. The Father offers forgiveness through Jesus, who is the source and payment for to the Father for our sins. And then when you get to the second in verse 15, you see your Father again, but it changes. See, because in 14, the your is personal. This is your Father. You have a relationship with your Father if you forgive those who have sinned against you. But if you refuse to give others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now this your becomes general. Your Father is not the personal Father anymore, because you are doing something against the will of the Father. You are not forgiving the people when they sin against you. And this Father, in that part of it, represents a judge who will judge those who refuse to do God's will. Lastly, there's an interesting pronoun usage in that Jesus uses in chapter 11, verse 27. And I would encourage you to turn there. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Jesus says, My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father. No one truly knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Very interesting verse. Jesus states to his disciples that God is his Father, and they have a unique relationship with God because and through Jesus Christ. He goes on to state in verses 28 and 29 that in him, Christ, If you are in Christ, there is rest if you learn from Him. The Son chooses who to reveal God to, and in them is in them God and Jesus is rest if we learn from the Son. Very interesting verse. It's Jesus says, this is my Father, and He's entrusted everything to me. And only the Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son, except those to whom the Son chooses to reveal to Him. You know, Jesus, in describing God as our Father, what He's doing is helping us to develop the right frame of mind when we think about God and our relationship with Him. He's not some God who is out there, who is not aware of your situation, your needs, your struggles, your difficulties. If you are in Jesus Christ, He is your personal Father, and He is always aware of everything that is going on. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, we see that your Father knows what you need before you do. Our Father is the final authority on everything. He's the creator of the universe. Even your breath is His. Your Father forgives your sins just as you should forgive others when they sin against you. And your Father is personal and caring, establishing the real nature and example of fatherhood. When we look to God as a Father and see how He treats us as a Father, that's the example of fatherhood. All of our fathers were flawed men. But God the Father is perfect, and He sets the standard for what a father is to be. The relationship that we have with God, though, is only possible through His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul makes this very clear in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. The message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Our Father raised Jesus from the dead and established Him as Lord so that we would imitate the Son. If you declare that Jesus is your Lord and believe it in your heart, you can claim salvation that is offered you. What an awesome Father we have. One who would go to these lengths to bring us home. As we sang this morning, a love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my all. If you claim Jesus as your Lord, then you need to imitate Him because He is your Lord, and live your life that way. And when you do that, you will live to do the Father's will, and you will have the right to call God Abba, Father. What a privilege we have in Jesus Christ to call the Holy God, who is Spirit and perfect, and we are so far from that. What a privilege it is to call Him Daddy. He is the perfect example of a Father. And He is our Father, our personal Father. So I want to leave you with this challenge. Have you claimed the right to call God Daddy, your Father? Do you talk with Him every day, seeking His wisdom, because He's got a lot to give you? Do you read your Bible and do you pray and ask Him to direct your paths and your steps and your decisions? Do we go into everything that we do all day long and saying, I dedicate my day to the Lord and I am making Jesus my Lord with every decision, with every situation? We need to do that, folks. If you say you're a Christian and you're claiming Jesus Christ as your Lord, then we need to be living it, because only when we do that do we have the right to claim salvation and the right to call God Daddy, a personal God. We need to think very seriously every day, because we have a lot of responsibilities as children of God. And one of them is to brag about our relationship with the Holy God to people we meet. He provides incredible promises through Scripture. And we claim those promises if Jesus is our Lord and God is our Father. So as we go, leave this place this morning and we think through these things, pray about this week. Ask God to reveal, where am I deficient in my life every day, and where am I not allowing Jesus to be Lord over my life? We have an awesome, awesome God who is patient and kind to us. But if we refuse to make Jesus our Lord and to live by doing the will of God, you may get to stand before Him one day and He's going to say, I don't know who you are. And that's a very, very serious thing. Pray about this week. Dedicate your life every moment to God, our Father, through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, Heavenly Father, Daddy, what a privilege it is to be able to come to You. For all of us as sinners, struggling to get through this life every day, struggling to make Jesus our Lord every day, struggling with our human nature. Yet we know, Almighty God, that You are patient and loving and kind, and You are teaching us and training us to be people who will claim Jesus as Lord and be Your children. And we will learn the lessons that You are trying to teach us. Thank You, Almighty God, for loving us this much. I pray, Lord, that as we look to how Jesus told His disciples they need to pray, that we will claim You as Father and claim Jesus as Lord, our example, and live for You to do Your will. Father, thank You. We pray.